It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
Last spring, folks reacted very strongly to my description of the delivery of newly hatched chicks by the U.S. Postal Service. Many were surprised to hear not only that chicks, but even considerably larger animals like horses were once sent in the mail in the early days of parcel post. Most astonishing, of course, was what was described in A Brief History of Children sent through the mail in the Smithsonian Magazine in June 2016. Some parents in those early days realized that parcel post rates were considerably cheaper than train fare and sent their children by parcel post to visit their grandparents. Who better than the employees of the U.S. Postal Service to entrust with timely delivering of this most precious cargo? I thought back to that bulletin as I read this week in the Washington Post that U.S. Postmaster Louis DeJoy is proposing to restore financial health to the Postal Service by slowing down the delivery of local first-class mail from 2 days to 3 to 5 days, and by raising prices. Ha! The previous week, on my last trip to the city, a neighbor told me she had found a piece of mail, a government check addressed to my late partner Peter, placed in the wrong mailbox. Peter died in September 2018, so it's not inconceivable that a refund for some recent tax year might still be in a pipeline somewhere. It turned out that the check was a Social Security monthly benefit with a scheduled delivery date of May 13th, 2009. How much more, I wondered, could Mr. DeJoy's slow delivery down? Just as I've had repeatedly in the last year had to ask clients to stop payments on checks they had mailed but which disappeared in the mail and to replace them with credit card payments, it turned out that Peter had arranged for a replacement payment from Social Security 12 years ago. My excitement at this little gift of money and the thought that this one little paper parcel was preserved and ultimately delivered, even if late, faded. Feeling was replaced by a sense of remorse that yet another venerable public institution, a once vital part of the infrastructure of national commerce, has been allowed to so deteriorate. For this deterioration in service, I do not blame the devoted mail deliverers and sorters. Many of them are the same individuals who, in the months after 9/11, made sure the residents of my building in the city, displaced by damage to our apartments from the collapse of the World Trade Center, got our mail. The old adage about delivery despite rain, snow, or gloom of night rang true then. And I recognize that in this last pandemic year, mail delivery, a task that inevitably involves face-to-face interaction with others, has become a high-risk job. Again, my last trip to the city illuminated that risk all too well for me. The purpose of my trip was to get my first COVID-19 vaccination. But since I would be stopping home that day, I arranged to resume egg delivery. That was weekly egg delivery in pre-pandemic times to my city neighbors. Nearly a week after this excursion, I got a text from one neighbor advising me that she might have exposed me to COVID. Her husband had been taken to the hospital and she had tested positive as well. That a trip to get vaccinated might result in COVID exposure was no small irony. I immediately arranged to get tested, as did my visiting friend Eric, and we were relieved to both test negative. Being masked, keeping distanced, and keeping my visit to my neighbor's apartment brief had apparently paid off. But the episode so drove home to me the dangers those engaged in home delivery inevitably face. But the episode drove home to me the dangers those engaged in home delivery inevitably face. No, the problem with the Postal Service is not the dedication of its employees, even if any may be demoralized now. The deterioration has much more to do with other factors. Much business and personal correspondence has moved to email, so there are fewer powerful constituencies demanding reliable paper mail. At the same time, private competitors like FedEx have been permitted to cherry-pick the lucrative urgent delivery business. On top of these long-term revenue losses, policy changes instituted by Mr. DeJoy himself, including such measures as the on-time departure of planes, even if the mail they were supposed to carry has not yet arrived, has slowed mail down. According to Forbes magazine, before Mr. DeJoy's arrival in June 2020, 93% of first-class mail was delivered on time. As a result of his policy penalty changes, that proportion quickly went down to 81% in early August, an election season and holiday season that were both heavily mail-dependent because of the pandemic, stressed the system further. The Washington Post reports that by the end of 2020, only 38% of first-class mail was delivered on time. Of course, the worse service gets, the more people abandon the use of mail, until ultimately the Postal Service becomes unsustainable. As someone who must decide whether to take a leap of faith this spring and get mail-order chicks and turkey poults, which must reach their destination in under 48 hours to be assured of survival, I would humbly suggest that the Biden administration consider investment in the Postal Service and installation of new leadership there a high infrastructure priority. With vision and commitment to this public good, perhaps it can once again become the service we knew it to be. Otherwise, I will have to consider less risky alternatives, such as getting eggs and incubating them to hatch on the farm. This frigid morning, I arrived at the barn to hear the bleating of twin lambs, newly delivered by a first-time mother. Our annual lambing has begun. Already up and avidly nursing, this brother and sister pair, Pruneau and Noiraud, are a reminder of just how delightful home delivery can be.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.